With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Text line 69306. First off, congratulations on getting through 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. We have now moved up to our, this is actually
we're
our
double digits.
This
now?
Is actually our February high of 12 people are listening right
That's
now. This
good,
is actually
man.
A really big deal.
Spectre, I mean, it is the 12th of February, so
I know Spectre came in and told me that 12 people are listening right That's now, good. So we appreciate that. So I was saying that of all the Valentine's Day tips that you've given,
sure,
the thing I've learned is to just try, put
sure.
a little effort by it,
Absolutely.
And that goes a long way. And I was saying that you should just take 3 hours mm-hmm. for your wife, and you were telling me how that's difficult for some people.
Some days it is.
Well, I don't think you can do it all, like, the whole, yeah. I'm just saying over the course of a week, you got three
oh, of
hours,
course.
I think.
Of course.
Text line 69306, my wife doesn't want my time. She just wants for me to take some of the things off her to-do list. That's what I'm talking about. Someone says, I'm not taking love advice from a guy who allegedly got busted for human trafficking. We got to stop this. That was the joke last week. I'm not putting
it's
up with these
good
jokes
joke,
this
man.
Week.
It's
I'm not putting up with it.
Who posted bail for you, man?
It got so bad that my mom had to text me and ask, are you okay? Because they're making fun of you on the
really?
Internet. That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
It was everywhere.
You look like that dude. Though.
It was on Instagram.
Yeah.
It was on Facebook. People were tagging me on Facebook. It was on Twitter. I couldn't get away. Jeff Allen from the Chiefs was making fun
oh,
of me.
No.
It was bad. Like, it was real bad. That guy last week, I'm not going to lie to you, did kind of look like me. But yeah. I'm
clean,
not.
Clean shaven version of CDOT.
I'm not putting up with those shenanigans this week, text line.
You're done.
I'm not here for it. We got a lot of stuff to get into. Plus, we've got a chance for you to win something really cool from Santa Fe Audi.
Yeah, we do. We got a really cool thing we're doing this week, man. This week, it's courtesy of my guys over at Santa Fe Auto Sound. They're terrific over there. And they've been in your home for car audio since 1967 in downtown Overland Park. So here's what we're doing. We're going to give you a code word at 2 o'clock and again at 5 o'clock today through Thursday. So then on Friday, you got to be the fourth caller to correctly tell us each of those four code words that we've given out over the course of the week. And how about this, man? You're going to win a $400 prize package to Santa Fe Auto Sound. They got everything in there, man. You want video head units. You want remote car starters. You want to upgrade your audio. They got all this great stuff in there. It's fantastic. I was just over there a couple of days ago talking to those guys, checking out everything that they have, and it's really, really good. So they're going to give you $400 to do whatever you want. You want the remote car starter. You want to upgrade all your audio. They got everything you need in there. They got subwoofers, all sorts of great stuff. So we gave a code word yesterday. I'm going to give it to you now. And since pitchers and catchers reported spring training today, today's code word is spring. I'll say it again for you. Thankfully, I don't have to spell these code words like CDOT. Spring is the code word for today. We'll have another one tomorrow at 2 o'clock and at 5 o'clock and then again on Thursday. And then if you know all four of the code words this week, $400 to my guys over at Santa Fe Auto Sound. They'll take great care of your vehicle, make everything sound good, give you a remote car starter, which I love.
BK, let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City, man.
From the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go. Hits are brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city. Now open in the Crossroads and the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. It's all happening once again for KU basketball. Here's what it sounded like last night.
Well, not over yet, but the road to the Big 12 title will still travel down I-70 until further notice.
KU is now 8-4 in Big 12 play. It's the same record.
The
that
funny
they had
thing
this
is that is
last year.
He has the thing, so he
I have
knew,
to flip back and
he
forth.
He knew
right?
when it had ended.
He,
so
cut
the fact,
he cut the audio, didn't he?
Yeah, it's just surprising.
All right. Do you think this is really going to happen again? Screw it. Forget what I had to say. Just go.
I want to basically play for you what Brandon Kylie did. So earlier today, like, bro, you can't see? Like, it's stop. What are you doing?
It's kind of hard to understand.
I didn't even hear what the question was. I was so unfocused.
Is Kansas going to be able to do this again?
Are they going? They are doing it now. That's what's happening. You guys don't see what's happening? I've seen this movie before. But you know what? I'm not buying tickets to this movie. I'm going to hold firm. I remember, BK, that I came in there and told you that I'll be honest with you guys. I have not been watching Missouri the last two games because I have been fully focused on K-State. They played at the exact same time.
Nobody else has been watching Missouri either.
That I've been focused on them. Now I'm back. tonight, maybe. They might get the top TV because K-State plays at the same time. I've been all in on this K-State Wildcats team. I've jumped in. I bought tickets to K-State, Iowa State over the weekend. I'm going to the game in Allen Fieldhouse. I am a K-State fan for the rest of the season. So it only makes sense that right when I jump on board, one of their key players gets hurt. I think it's me. I think I'm the cause for pain.
So, BK, what was the question again?
Is KU going to do this again?
They're doing it right now.
No, they're not going to do it again, and I'll tell you why. They're running on fumes. Last night was a hell of a win for them, a gutsy-ass win. Like, Devin Dotson was terrific in that game. Dedrick Glosson didn't have a great game, but got fiery with Bill Self, and I loved it. KU's going to have to go 5-1 down the stretch to be able to get a share of the Big 12 title. That's what's going to have to happen. They're going to have to get to 5 losses, and that's it. They got to go 5-1. They're going to win home against West Virginia. They got to go on the road to Texas Tech. I don't think they're winning that game. I think it's going to be a nail-biter against K-State at Allen Fieldhouse. Then you got to go on the road to Oklahoma State, where they always have a hard time, on the road at OU, and they've got Baylor at home. I don't think KU's going 5-1, considering they're 2-6 in true road games this year. So, no, they're not going to do it again this year.
Fanny, you know what I've decided?
What?
You're a Patriots fan with a Dolphins mindset. You know what I mean? You cheer for the Kansas Jayhawks, but you would never think that. You've got a Baylor fan mindset about the team.
I don't feel good about it. I mean, they had to battle their guts out on the road to TCU.
You're more optimistic about the Royals than you are about KU this year.
I don't know, man.
You think the Royals can make the playoffs? Mindset.
It is. I've got that too, man. I got a lot of scar tissue build up.
You
man.
Think the Royals could finish over 500?
They might win it all.
There ain't no Dayton ain't even that optimistic
they might,
about
they
the
might
Royals.
Even sweep the World Series.
Two.
The second hit of the day is going to be on K-State, and it's not quite as good a news as it is for KU today. K-State going to be without Jara tonight as they travel to Texas. He needs surgery on his hand. He's going to be out indefinitely. How big of a blow do you think this is going to be for K-State?
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm worried. The way Jara's been playing lately, you maybe can make a point that he is part of the heart and soul and the fabric of that team. He's by far their best guy off the bench. He scored double digits in their last 4 games. He's playing with an energy and intensity of hunger that you need. Can Mike McGurl step up? Can Xavier Sneed step up and start to provide a little bit of coverage for not having DR? You might not have him or Jada for the rest. It always looks like DR. It's hard to say.
That's the way it's spelled.
It throws you off all the time. So with this K-State team, someone's going to have to pick up the slack because of how he's been playing of late. Who is going to do it? That's the question. And it just feels like we've seen this movie again.
It does feel that way because last year it was, what, Keenan Evans that went down with a knee injury when Texas Tech had a chance to really win the Big 12 and end the streak. Keenan Evans goes down for Texas Tech, and then they lose to West Virginia, KU, and Oklahoma State. And we all know what happened after that. KU won the Big 12 championship. It feels that way. My question is when it comes to Jada is a little bit different than everybody else's. I'm not really thinking of K-State winning the Big 12 right now. I still think they're going to do that. I want to know what happened because he played great in Baylor, had one of the biggest plays of the game, you know, saved a ball from going out of bounds. Barry Brown got a dunk on the other end, and they iced that game. And now all of a sudden, magically, Jada is not on the court for practice yesterday. He has a hand injury that needs surgery. He's seen on campus with his hand wrapped. And he's not with the team in Austin. Something seems fishy to me on that. So how big of a blow will this be to K-State? I kind of want to know the story behind Jada before I can really give you an answer to that.
Three.
Final hit of the day is brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a not Jewish city. It's now open in the Crossroads and the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. It may be cold outside, but pitchers and catchers are reporting today in surprise. Our own Cody Tapp is on the ground with complete coverage all spring long. You can follow along with the coverage on the website and on our social media feeds. As for the team, the story of the day is Dayton Moore's comments that he made to the Kansas City Star. He told them that the Royals' expectations are to, quote, win the division, end quote. You guys buying it?
This is my question. Well, I mean, buying it. Come on now. This is my question. Are we holding the Royals to this? Because I think everybody in Kansas City can agree the Royals are not winning the division, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I think if this year's team wins 70 games, that's a good season. That's winning 12 more games than you won last season. If you win 73 games, that's 15 more. That's a 15-game improvement. That is a good season for you. Nobody is holding them to this standard. If they don't reach it, what do we do in this scenario? I'm going to assume the answer is nothing in this one, but I just don't know why you would put this out there. I just don't really understand the logic behind it.
Well, I'm going to read the full quote so people understand it. And the full quote was this from the Kansas City Star. Quote, a lot of people say the Royals aren't ready to take this step, but we're not going to put limitations on this team. David Glass says it all the time. Expectations drive results. Our expectations are to win the division. That's the full quote from Dayton Moore that he gave to Vahe Gregorian in his office before he went down to spring training. I like it, and I like it because of this. I want that expectation on these guys, and I know it's a different example, but follow me on here. Magic Johnson blew a gasket, went off on Luke Walton when the Lakers got off to a crummy start. And I know you're going to say they have LeBron, and you're right about all that stuff. But the Lakers turned around and started winning some basketball games after that because they looked awful, and we knew it was a rebuilding year. I love that the Royals are coming out and saying, hey, we're our expectation to go out and win the division. I'm not putting a cap on wins for young guys like O'Hearn and Dozier. You're a professional baseball player. You're paid to go out there and win. And that's the mindset that I want. And if you want to hold them to them, great. And I think the Royals are fine with you holding them to that. Because I think that's where they want to be held to. And the other part of this quote, too, is that David Glass says it. Not Dayton Moore. David Glass says it, which means it's coming from the top down. And I like that.
And that concludes the hits for today. It certainly feels like KU is about to win the Big 12. I'm trying to fight the feeling of it.
But you're saying it's not going
to
happen.
I'm trying to fight the feeling of it. And maybe this is like mind over matter, and I'm trying to block it out. But yesterday, as I'm watching that game, and I'm not going to lie to you guys if you want like an honest moment, I was legitimately for about 15 to 30 minutes thinking about KU playing in Session 1 of the Big 12 and how exciting that would be. Mm-hmm. How I can't imagine being at Pizza Bar or wherever they're going to have us this year on the Wednesday before the Big 12 tournament starts and KU was playing West Virginia in Session 1. I was thinking that was a possibility. I was looking at the standings, and I'm like, man, if KU can't win any of these games on the road, and maybe K-State gets him at home, like we could like really have some fun this year. So I allowed my Missouri fandom to cloud my judgment for just a little bit. And then I'm watching that game yesterday, and I'll give them a lot of credit. I didn't think KU had the fight in him. I didn't think Dedrick Lawson had the oomph
you saw a little bit
to
of that,
argue
though,
with Bill Self.
Yeah,
I didn't think he had that. I didn't think that two freshman guards on the road against a team that had just beat TCU had the ability to carry this team. I ain't going to lie to you guys. I gave up on KJ Lawson a long time ago. I gave up on Mitch Lightfoot a long time ago. But money-making Mitch was out there getting buckets. He was getting blocks like a young Elijah Wan. He was getting putbacks dunks like he was Zion Williamson.
He's an effort guy.
Mitch Lightfoot played incredibly well yesterday. Yeah. KJ Lawson had double-digit points yesterday. You can say that KU doesn't win that game without KJ Lawson and Mitch Lightfoot. You can say that. That's
Devin Dotson, too, had 25
agreed.
To 10.
But those, yeah. I'm saying, but you needed some other guys to give you something on the road, and you got that from the other guys on the road yesterday.
Yeah.
I was surprised at how much fight KU had. That I admit, even myself, I underestimated KU a little bit of. They're not going to go down easily, and maybe they're not going to go down at all. I thought the KU, especially early in that game, because you remember, TCU came out there and punched them in the mouth. Bill Self caught a timeout in the first 2 minutes of that game. I ain't going to lie. I got kind of giddy thinking that this was going to be the end of the Kansas Jayhawks. And then something happened. They kind of settled down a little bit. Abaji got going. Dotson got going. Dedrick Lawson hit a couple big shots. And they found a way to win. It is going to be a really fun next, six games in the Big 12. As much fun as we've had in the Big 12 in a very long time.
I agree, because you don't know what's going to happen. Last night when I watched that game, and first off, here's the weird part about it. I watched the first half in a KU bar last night. And we don't have the cricket sounder ready to go, but that's the way it was. There's hardly anybody in there for a KU game at a KU bar. I was shocked. So I think a lot of the fan base is like packed it in and said, hey, listen, I'm not going out. The weather's bad. I'm not drinking. I'm not having a bunch of pops. I'm not running up a big bar tab to watch KU get beat on the road at TCU by the freaking Horned Frogs. But then KU showed a lot of guts. And I felt like watching that game last night was kind of like watching an NCAA tournament game, because it really did have a do-or-die feel for KU. They were into that game, and if they lost it, you knew at five losses, they were going to have to run the table. They were going to have to run the table if they lost last night on the road to TCU. That means they were going to have to win three more times on the road. That would have dropped them to 1-7 in true road games, and that would have meant if KU wanted to hope for even a share of the Big 12 championship, they were going to have to win on the road to Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma, in addition to beating West Virginia, K-State, and Baylor at home. And that's not going to happen. This KU team's going to get beat again. So what they did last night felt like an NCAA tournament game, and they played like it. I mean, Dedrick Lawson chirping it up with Bill Self. getting fiery. Loved it. Wasn't over the top. Loved it. Dedrick got back in there. Didn't have his best game, but he still gave you a double-double like he always does. Devin Dotson, to me, came out there and played like an absolute stud that refused to let that team lose. I thought that was a really inspiring moment for KU, and I still don't think they're going to be able to come back and win the Big 12. I think they're running on fumes here, but I think that's also what's going to make this final month of the Big 12 regular season that much more fun to watch. So I'm with you on that.
I want to focus on this with K-State, and we'll get back to KU in a little bit, because I do think tonight with the game, some of the focus and a lot of it should be on K-State.
Absolutely.
If K-State wins today, I know they're underdogs. They're 2.5-point dogs at Texas. If they win today, the road to winning the Big 12 is very clear.
That's brutal.
Win your home games. That's what it is. Win your home games. If you're K-State and you win today, that puts you at 9-2 in the league. And I think we got to stop calling this the Big 12 race. It is now the road to 13. I would say it's the race to 13. Maybe K-State or maybe KU gets the 13. Right now, they're 8-4. You got to go 5-1 down the stretch in their next six games. That means you got to win two of your next three games on the road, which we agree KU has had a tough time winning on the road, but we fully expect them to take care of business at home. If you're K-State and you can find a way to win today, which gets you to 9, you got 4 home games remaining after this. If you can win all 4 of those games and then find a way to win one additional game on the road, the Big 12 is yours. That if you are a K-State fan, I think it was against Baylor, second half, they were talking about this. I can't remember who was on the broadcast. And remember when Kamal Stokes was talking about their bucket list as K-State seniors, things they wanted to accomplish before they left. And it was win one of those holiday tournaments. They won the Paradise Jam. They beat my Missouri Tigers. And then it was, beat KU. We never done that before. And then one of it was win the Big 12. If I'm Bruce Weber, I'm talking major league kind of stuff with Rachel Phelps. And I'm telling you, if you can win tonight, that puts you in the best shape we've seen to knock KU off from not winning the league and finishing second that I think we've seen in this 15-year run. All you got to do then is just take care of your home games and find a way to win one of these games. It is very realistic that K-State can win 14 games in the conference, at worst 13 games in the conference. But you got to win today against Texas. I looked at this 4-game stretch for K-State as the most important stretch of their season. You had KU at home. You had to win that game to even consider giving yourself a chance to win the league. You won that game at Baylor, a game we agree. K-State typically slips up in the past. Teams that are trying to win the Big 12 normally slip up. K-State won that game at Texas today. You don't have Jada in this game. A lot of people are doubting you. You got to find a way. We still got Barry Brown, got Dean Wade healthy in this game, still got Snead. You still got guys that have played in Elite Eight and played in big-time games. You got to find a way to get this. And then all you simply got to do is take care of business at home, and you can be the team to break the streak. You can leave Kansas State knowing that you beat KU and forever on your – so whenever you come back and whenever they – pay respect to the 2019 Kansas State team, and they hang your banner up, and then you go back to Aggieville as a 45-year-old man with your two kids, and you show them. You can always say that KU won 14 straight league titles, and I was on the team to do it. That is still very much in play for K-State.
I think K-State could actually go 4-4 down the stretch and still get a share of it, and still may win it. If they go 6-2, this thing's over. I mean, if they go 6-2 in their final eight game, they could lose tonight. K-State can. And still have a legitimate chance to win this thing outright, because KU's dug themselves such a hole at 8-4 in the Big 12 right now, and K-State's at 8-2, so they're two games ahead of them in the loss column right now. I'm with you. I think that's a great way to approach it, C-Doc. Go in there and say, you've never done this before. Let's just peel them off. KU, Baylor, big win coming off the KU win. Went on the road, beat a good Baylor team. If they win at Texas tonight, man, they're sitting pretty. They're sitting pretty, because their toughest game after that is obviously at KU. They got Baylor at home. They got OU at home. They got Oklahoma State at home. They go on the road at West Virginia, who's been awful this year. They got Iowa State at home, which I think they can take down. And I think Mike McGurl's a guy that they're going to have to depend on heavily. I don't even know if they need him to play a huge role. Let's not forget, this team went all the way to the Elite Eight with Dean Wade hurt and not playing in the tournament. And Bruce Weber talked about this today. He said, listen, we've dealt with adversity before. They got a little bit, They're feeling pretty good. Beat KU on the road at Baylor, and now Jada goes down. So what are you going to do? I think the cool thing about K-State, and yeah, I'm a KU fan, but I really do admire what K-State's doing, and I really do like this basketball team. And this is one of my keys to life that I always tell kids. Man, you got to be uncomfortable, you got to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And I think K-State is. I think K-State is comfortable being uncomfortable. So losing Jada, to me, is not going to be a huge thing because they've dealt with stuff like this in the past. Hell, they did it all the way in the NCAA tournament, all the way to the Elite Eight. I think they'll be able to handle it. And again, if they go 4-4 is going to get them a share, in my opinion, because that means KU's got to go, 5-1 down the stretch. If they go 6-2, if they go, 5-3, I still think they win this thing outright.
I don't know if you've seen this movie or not, but do you remember in the movie Glory Road, whenever the character, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but Derek Luke's character, the point guard, he goes over to Don Haskins and he says, I think it was the national championship, he was like, if I had my pick, I would choose you over him. And then he makes the laugh. He's like, I don't know if the other coach would do the same for me. I think if you had that exact same scenario, I don't know if Bruce Weber trades Dean Wade for Dedrick Lawson.
Yeah, I don't think he
does. He's happy with him.
Yeah.
I think if you ask Bruce Weber who the best player in the Big 12 is, I think he would say Dean Wade. That a lot of times KU has the best player in the league, or it's a really good argument for it. I think this is the first time we've been able to say in the last 10 years, I don't think KU is the best team in the league. Now, I think it's understandable why they're not the best team in the league, and if they had everybody, I don't think it would be close. Mm-hmm. If they had Silvio, or if they had Udoka Azubuike, if Grimes was playing a little bit better, then I think it'd be pretty clear that KU is the most talented team in the league. They were the second best team in the beginning of the season behind Duke, I think, from a talent perspective. But man, I can't think of too many times that we can go roster for roster, player for player, and you think, I think our starting five is better than your starting five with Kansas. That if you're K-State, you gotta feel that way. And if we sat here and we looked at their and we looked at the rosters and looked at K-State starting five from their last game and looked at KU starting five, I think many of you would take K-State starting five. I think they're better than KU. That man, you very rarely do you get this kind of opportunity. Very rarely is Kansas as down as they appear to be right now. The KU fans love to say that, oh man, this is the worst team we had since Bill Self. No, the current team that they're putting on the court is the worst team he's had at KU since he's been there. This KU team is incredibly top heavy, not very deep, no bench. I don't think this KU team is very good at all. Man, you gotta be thinking if you're K-State, you gotta be thinking about kill shot, and you gotta be thinking about getting KU out of here. Because the more you let KU hang around, the more you let KU continue to be this black cloud over you, and that would involve losing today, I think the pressure then shifts towards Kansas State. That's what I think. Because
they're gonna feel pressure, though. I mean, K-State's gonna feel pressure the closer we get to this thing. I mean, they've still got 8 games to go in the Big 12 schedule. They probably feel a little bit of it right now, but they're gonna feel it the closer we get. When they got a chance to clinch this thing, K-State hasn't been in that spot. So they're going to feel it at some point.
See, I disagree with you as long as they continue to have the advantage. Because maybe I'm different in how I'm doing it. I'm already giving K-State the loss at KU. I'm not picking any team to win at Allen Fields because it is. So right now, if they're at 2. Let's say they lose that game to KU and then that puts them at 3 games. If you can stay 1 game up on them, then you're perfectly fine. You lose today. We already think you got the loss coming to KU down the road.
That gets them to 4 losses.
All it then is KU finds a little bit of it. KU take care of business at home the way we think they are. They got Oklahoma State, not a good team. They got Oklahoma on the road, not a good team. It's not unfathomable for this KU team to go 5-1 down the stretch. If you're K-State, I'm not thinking about sharing this thing. Because sharing it, you get no credit for it. None of us talk about K-State sharing it with KU a couple years ago. Nobody remembers that. Nobody talks about it. You are only going to be remembered if you're the team that ends it. If you're the only one that has the 1 by your name and KU has the 2 by their name. So you got to be thinking to end this thing. I'm not thinking about sharing it with them because it's not sharing with KU when they've done that for the last 15 years. They're going to get credit for 15. Nobody is going to remember your 1. You got to be thinking about winning this thing outright if you're K-State.
Yeah, I mean, Drago's bleeding right now and you got to put him away. You're right. And the kill shot begins tonight at Texas, which, by the way, you can hear that game right here on 610 Sports Radio starting at 7 o'clock. The kill shot begins tonight. If you're going to put KU away, you got to go down to Austin and take care of business against the Longhorns. If you do that, you get that one out of the way and run it to 9-2, you are sitting pretty. Because that means at the very worst, in my opinion, they'll go 5-3 down the stretch. And that gives you, that'll give you 5 losses. KU's already, KU's at 4 right now, and KU's an awful road team. I honestly don't see KU going 5-1 down the stretch. I don't see it.
Me too. I agree.
They've been awful on the road. So I think you're going to get beat at Texas Tech after they beat West Virginia this weekend at home. So it starts tonight for K-State. If they can start that kill shot, they can't put them away tonight. But, man, they can land a huge blow. If after you beat KU, you can go on the road and beat Baylor and on the road and beat Texas, K-State's sitting pretty.
Because we agree, the momentum is going to change.
Absolutely.
I think in Kansas City and around KU, if K-State loses today.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see what this really young team, when Bill Self is having to start a bunch of freshmen, how they're going to respond coming down the stretch. The thing that K-State has on KU, other than being a better basketball team right now, they got a ton of experience, man. They got seniors. They got Stokes. You know, they got Wade. They got Barry Brown. Xavier Sneed's been really, really good. So they've got the experience, and I think they're going to be able to handle a little bit better, even though I think they'll feel the pressure the closer they get.
Coming up in just a little bit, there is something that we're doing again with the Royals that we seemingly do every single spring. I'll tell you what it is coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Some breaking news in the world of Kansas City. Secondary coach Emmett Thomas has officially retired. The Chiefs just announced it on their Twitter account. Emmett Thomas to retire after coaching 38 seasons in the NFL. So if you want to add it all up, he has been associated with the National Football League for 51 years. 38 as a coach, 13 as a player. He has been in the Kansas City Chiefs organization for 22 years. Quote, on behalf of my family and the entire Chiefs organization, I want to congratulate Emmett on a remarkable 51 years in the National Football League. This is Clark Hunt. Over the course of a career that spans two leagues and most of the modern era of the NFL, Emmett Thomas was a Hall of Fame player and one of the most respected coaches in the league. Emmett will always be part of our Chiefs family, and we wish him the best in retirement. Quote, I have been blessed and honored to be part of the NFL for the last 51 years. This is from Emmett Thomas. My journey started in Kansas City, and by the grace of God, I am able to end my NFL career here as well. I would like to thank the Hunt family, or the Clarks, as our guy Dwayne Bowe so eloquently put it, and the Chiefs organization for all they have done for me in my special days here in Kansas City. It has been a privilege to work alongside the great coaches that have come through this building. It's a pretty long statement. It's certainly someone that deserves it. So congratulations to Emmett Thomas, who is now retiring after 51 years in the NFL. Congratulations.
Yeah, I had a chance to talk to Emmett a couple of different times. I interviewed him when I was over at Channel 5, and I loved it. He's kind of salty, pretty funny. And I think, you know, the farther we get away from this stuff, we forget about how good of a player he was. And I got to be honest with you, I don't remember Emmett as a player, but if you go back, you can see some of his stuff on YouTube. And the guy's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, back in 1974, the guy had 12 picks. I mean, he had 12 interceptions in one season. He had 58 for his career, and he spent all 13 years in Kansas City as a player. And then he's had a great career as a coach. And if I'm not mistaken, I have to double check it. I think he was an interim head coach for the Atlanta Falcons for a little bit too. So 51 years in the NFL is nuts. I mean, it's crazy. I wish him the best, and I didn't know much about it. I got to be honest, I didn't know much about Emmett Thomas until I did some homework on him and sat down and talked to him for a pregame show we did at Channel 5, and I just love the guy. And I do think it was probably time for him to move on. There was obviously some change needed in that secondary. But, man, for a guy that had a Hall of Fame career as a player and spent that many years as a coach in the NFL, something.
Coming up in just a little bit, BK has been chomping at the bit to get this takeaway, and I told him if he could go 20 minutes without messing up the audio, I would let him say the take. So we'll do that coming up in just a little bit. This is the thing, that sometimes I feel like I get called negative on things when I feel like sometimes I'm the only one that's trying to be honest. I understand that we're the home of the Royals, and the Royals have been a great partner. But I'm not going to come on here and lie to you guys about the Royals.
If he prefaces it like that, it's not going to be good.
The Royals ain't going to be good this year. I know it. You know it. The listeners know it. I'm just not going to lie to them about it. But I think that good is relative. Like this year for me. You know, you guys know I cheer for Missouri. Mm-hmm. Once Jontae got injured, I was just like, if Missouri can make the NIT this year, I'd be happy with that. Now, for some of you thinking that your team could make the NIT, you laugh at and scoff at because you've never seen your team play in the NIT, and that'd be a bad season. But this year for this Missouri team, making the NIT would be a good improvement. So sometimes success is relative.
What's that Fox tournament they play in?
The like, CBI tournament. Yeah, no, CBI? I want to go to the NIT tournament. That for the Royals this year, if they could win 73 games, which to some teams would be a terrible year, for the Royals, it would be a good season. So that's where I want to start with, that I am optimistic about the Royals. They're going to be all right this year. They're going to be better than they were last year, and they are going to be taking steps toward getting back to, we can judge them on a standard, we will hold a regular team. Mm-hmm. But one thing I'm not going to fall for is this jig. So I was on ESPN.com. Earlier today. Today's the first day of baseball season. Pitchers and catchers report. Still, yeah. Bryce Harper and Manny Machado have not signed. But that's another issue. And then I see this story about the ESPN number one story to watch with the Kansas City Royals. I'm thinking about, all right, what about Adalberto Mondesi? You know, what about Hunter Dozier?
Yeah.
What about your guy, Jorge Soler?
Heck yeah.
What about that? Yeah. Nope. Kyle Zimmer was the number one story. Kansas City, stop if you've ever heard this before, that people want us to be optimistic about Kyle Zimmer. Quote, yes, we're digging deep here, which is never a good way to start a story. But do you guys remember Kyle Zimmer? He was the fifth overall pick back in 2012. Turner Gill was coaching at KU back when that was the case.
That was a long time ago.
But he couldn't stay healthy and never reached the minors. The Royals designated him for assignment last spring. He re-signed to a minor league deal that sent him to Driveline baseball facility outside Seattle. He spent the entire season there. He returned to the Royals, throwing 94 and 97 miles per hour, and is now back on the 40-man roster. There are a lot of things I'm optimistic about the Kansas City Royals. A lot of things. Talking to you, talking to Ned, talking to Dayton. You're telling me that Monty's got a chance to be Francisco Lindor? All right, I'm interested in that. Jorge Soler coming back. I thought he was putting a good season together. Kansas City was starting to turn a little bit. I'm really curious about Billy Hamilton. This team might be fast. They might be scrappy. There's reasons to be excited. You cannot get me excited about Kyle Zimmer. Not in 2019. 2013, I'm rolling. 2014, the beginning of the season, I'm rolling. No, stop it. We're not doing this with Kyle Zimmer. You're not gonna lead me to believe that Kyle Zimmer. Maybe I'll end up being wrong. Maybe you guys will play this, and you'll put the harp sound behind it, and then I'll be on freezing cold takes, and you guys will say, yeah, you told me Kyle Zimmer wasn't going to play for the Royals. All right, you know what? I can live with being wrong on Kyle Zimmer. I'm going to start calling him Kyle Bradford. I'm going to start calling him Kyle Rose. That's what I'm going to start calling him. I'm going to start calling him Kyle Porter. Let me ask you this. What do you think happens first? Michael Porter starts for an NBA team, or Kyle Zimmer starts for the Royals?
Like gets a start or gets in a game?
Just starts a game for the Royals.
I don't think he'll be a starter, but I think he gets in a game as a reliever before Porter takes the
court. That you're just not going to do this to me on the first day of pitchers and catchers reporting. There's other real things to be talking about opposed to Kyle Zimmer.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, and I'm with you. Like, the safe take is I'm not swinging at a pitch in the dirt with this Kyle Zimmer stuff anymore, because I understand it, because we've talked about it for a bunch. When's he going to stay healthy? When's he going to be the guy? I mean, a couple of years ago when you and I were down at spring training, I think Zimmer, if I'm not mistaken, got the opening day start in spring training, and he was hurt. You know, but what they're preaching here at this Driveline Academy in Seattle is different. And it's a lot of biomechanics and a lot of stuff that I don't understand. All I do know is this. Kyle Zimmer, when he went there, he's throwing 58 miles an hour, and the guy that ran that runs the facility, here's this quote from The Athletic. I was like, oh, my God, this is really bad. He left there throwing 97. So I don't think Kyle Zimmer is going to be that frontline starter that we all hoped for. I think it's worth a risk to see if Kyle Zimmer can be a bullpen guy that could come in and give you gas every couple of days for an inning or so. I don't think that's asking a whole lot. And if that's the case, that's one hell of a story. You know, because some guys just can't stay healthy, man. Some guys have health issues. And if they figured this thing out for Kyle Zimmer to at least get something out of that draft pick at the major league level, I think it's a hell of a comeback story. I'm not sure it's going to happen or not, but I'm a little bit more optimistic this year than I have been in years past. And it's not that I'm, you know, it's not that I'm drinking crazy Royals Kool-Aid, because that's my team, like Mizzou's your team.
If you're drinking it on Kyle, there's two people gave up on a long time ago. I'm over the Kyle Zimmer stuff, and I'm over Bubba Starling.
Bubba Starling, maybe, I can get, though, now, man. The guy didn't put any work in the offseason, didn't do any of that stuff. Kyle Zimmer spent months in Seattle changing his body and working on biomechanics.
And maybe I'll be wrong on Kyle Zimmer. If I'm wrong, you guys will let me know. Believe me, you guys will play this cut, and you guys can make fun of me. But I'm sorry. I'm not believing in this anymore with Kyle Zimmer. I'm not going down this road. There's enough interesting storylines of guys I think can actually contribute to the Royals and actually help them that I'm not buying it with Kyle Zimmer. That if Kyle Zimmer gets in a game, he deserves a standing ovation, and Dayton should take a return lap. Now, he was the fifth overall pick that now we're just now. Yeah. Maybe he can be a guy that can eat an inning or two for you, so we'll still be a failed draft pick. But you're right. If they can get anything out of Kyle Zimmer, hey, I am all for it. But every February and March we do this.
Yeah.
Every February, it's, what about Bubba? Then we ask Dave Moore about Bubba. Then we ask Art Stewart about Bubba. I'll never forget when he came in here and said that he thought Bubba Starling was as comparable defensively to Lorenzo Cain. And I'm sitting there listening to Art Stewart, who knows more about baseball than probably any human being alive, and I'm looking at him like, wow, you really think that? He's like, all the bat's got to do is come around. The bat ain't never coming around Bubba Starling. It ain't never coming around. No, just like I don't ever believe Kyle Zimmer is going to be healthy for the Royals.
But again, here's the difference between that. And I've rooted for Bubba. I want a local kid. I want him to do his thing. I think he was a football player at heart. He couldn't turn down $7.5 million. And Bubba's not a guy that put in the work in the offseason, played winter ball. He went to winter ball this year. got one at bat, came home. That's it. Kyle Zimmer spent months up in Seattle trying to get his body right. You know, that's the difference between he and Bubba. Like, I think Kyle Zimmer is a baseball player. I think Bubba's a football player. They got too much money to not try baseball. That's really what it came down to. I don't know if Zimmer can do it or not, man. I mean, I think the safe take is no way in hell Zimmer makes it. Something's going to break down over the course of spring training, and that's going to be it. I will tell you this, though. If he can stay healthy, and that's the biggest if, obviously, but it's worked for Trevor Bauer. It's worked for a lot of these guys. Matter of fact, the Giants just hired a guy from this academy to work on biomechanics with their pitchers. If Zimmer can stay healthy, I think the Royals will find a good spot for him in the bullpen because that's what the Royals do. I mean, look what they did with Hochever. Look what they did with Wade Davis. They find guys that couldn't make it as starters, that they had bigger plans in the, to be a starter, and they put them in the pen, and they turn out to be pretty good. I mean, Dayton's already talked about Ian Kennedy potentially being in the bullpen. We've heard rumblings about Danny Duffy.
Which would make it the worst contract the Royals have ever signed.
Yeah, that's a bad contract. That's tough to defend. That's tough to defend.
He
for
can't
sure.
go to the bullpen.
Well, I mean, if you got a starter that you want to see, and he could do a better job than Ian Kennedy, and if that's going to keep Ian Kennedy healthy.
They pay Ian Kennedy way too much money for him to go to the bullpen.
Okay, but you want to pay him $17 million a year to not play at all? I mean, sometimes you got to pick the least of two evils, man. And if that's what they got to do with Ian Kennedy, keep him healthy.
I'm crushing Dayton if that's their decision.
Well, I mean, I don't like the contract either. I think if you look back, Dayton probably tell you the same thing. Pay that guy way too much money, especially on the back end, because there's no way Ian Kennedy's going to turn that down.
Do you know how tired you got of the Eric Berry stuff throughout the course of the season? We've been doing the Kyle Zimmer stuff for 6 years.
I get it. I understand. I get it. And I understand people's frustration with it. But I'm going to keep an eye on it. I'm not saying.
He makes Sam Bradford look like Cal Ripken Jr.
You're right. I don't disagree with you on that. Zimmer can't stay healthy, man. Ned even talked about it at spring training. The kid's got to stay healthy, and he couldn't. Maybe this is the thing that got him over the top. Maybe it's not.
I just can't wait till the Lynn Worthy story that Kyle Zimmer's in the best shape of his life, which we clearly agree is coming in about 6 days. Coming up, our new producer, Brandon Kiley, has all day been saying, I can't wait to get out a take about the Chiefs' new linebacker coach. If you want linebacker coach, D-line coach breakdown, you better keep it locked into the Drive.
BK, I got your back on this one too, man. I'll back you up on this.
It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
You want to know how I know we're in the offseason?
How's that, bud?
Guys got hot takes on position coaches for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I got your back, BK.
Maybe this is one of those things that I should have a strong opinion in. That some of you were like, Karen, you're not doing your job. I ain't going to lie to you. I don't really have a strong opinion about who the Chiefs hire as their defensive line coach. I just feel like there's way more other things that you guys come to me for opinions for that I haven't really spent maybe necessary time trying to formulate some opinion. I couldn't tell you the defensive line coach for any team in the NFL. Literally no team in the NFL I cannot tell you other than the Chiefs team. I can't tell you who the linebacker coach is for any other team in the NFL other than the Chiefs. No clue. Fanning and BK got all the hot takes in the world about the Chiefs' defensive staff.
I got two reasons to get you fired up about this guy.
I am a little surprised, but hey, you know what? This show, it's for everybody. So, BK, we'll let you go first. You said you had a hot, strong opinion about the Chiefs' defensive line coach and linebacker coach. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, it's not specific to either of the two. It's just in general, like, I think what they're doing with the staff defensively is they're showing that they're being aggressive with who they're going to go out and get. I think the biggest one is this Matt House hire, the linebackers coach that you've been referencing, CDOT.
Oh, your guy, Matt House.
Yeah, that's my dude.
Doing a great job.
I have no idea if he's a good coach or not. No idea whatsoever.
Well, I'll give you two reasons why he is when you're done.
Okay, well, then that's great. I'm glad that he's a good coach, or it sounds like he may be, but what I care about is that they're being aggressive. They know that this is their window to win, and they're going out and they're finding the guys that they deem to be the best possible candidates for what they need on the defensive side of the ball. That's what I wanted to see from them. I wanted to see them identify those guys and go out and get them. And it became pretty clear that Kentucky didn't want Matt House to get out of his contract, and the Chiefs found a way to make it happen. And so for me, that's the kind of aggressiveness I wanted to see in what they were going to hire defensively. Now I would like to see the same aggressiveness and adding to the roster this offseason.
So you're saying is you don't want to talk about the coaching hires. You want to talk about the coaching philosophy behind
Correct.
The hires.
Yeah, okay. I don't care who the names are because I don't know who any of these guys are. Right. I've never heard of them. Well, aggressiveness is nice.
I did a little homework into this Matt House guy, right? Because I don't know who the hell Matt House is either, right? other than the fact that he was a defensive coordinator for Kentucky, and Kentucky beat Missouri at Mizzou, and it ripped Carrington's soul out, and we had fun with that. Here's a couple of things on Matt.
That one crushed my soul. I ain't going to lie to you. That one kind of took it out of me as a Missouri fan. Like, they have that year.
I'm never going to get that
call. But that one, oh, my goodness.
We played the end of that VK over and over and over. We just pop it up. And
that one hurt me. I'm not going to lie to you.
That's why we played it. That's why we did it. You guys ever heard of Aaron Donald?
Yeah, I've heard of him before.
Okay, cool. Two-time defensive player of the year, the NFL. 6 years, $135 million. 13th overall pick, 2014. Aaron Donald wasn't even the best player in the state of Pennsylvania. He had offers from, like, Toledo, Akron, Rutgers, and Pitt. He goes to Pitt. Guess who coached him at Pitt? Matt House. I got another one for you. You ever heard of a dude named Josh Allen? And I'm not talking about the quarterback that Carrington hates in Buffalo. I'm talking about the guy that's the edge rusher at Kentucky right now, who is a three-star unranked kid coming out of high school. The latest NFL mock draft had him going second overall to the San Francisco 49ers. Guess who coached him? Matt House. This guy can turn dudes into legitimate players. Guess what the Chiefs have? And a couple of guys that haven't been very good
but
on the edge.
Really quick, though. Couldn't we use this same argument for just about anybody? Like, I feel like we could use this same argument because I remember, and I know this is a different comparison, I remember whenever KU hired David Beatty, and it was, he recruited Mike Evans and Johnny Manziel.
I'm not saying recruited. I'm saying coached. That's different.
I mean, somebody coached Khalil Mack at Buffalo.
Fair enough.
If they had brought him on to be the defensive line coach, you could point. Well, hey, he coached Khalil Mack in college.
Do we have a couple of edge rushers that need some work in Tonto Passanio?
Yeah,
okay, second-round pick that can't even get on the field. Breland Speaks. I don't know what they're going to do with him. Maybe he could coach him up. That's all I'm saying. The guy's got a decent resume. And so I'll take that. You know, I mean, if you coached Aaron Donald and Josh Allen in college, and those guys, and one's going to be the second overall pick, and one's, you know, what, the richest defensive guy? Is Khalil Mack making more money than him?
Donald makes more than he makes.
Okay, Donald makes more than him. Got like $86 million.
I think I might be wrong.
Guaranteed.
Let me go back. I might be wrong.
I'll take that. That's a pretty good resume. That's a pretty good resume. So I'm on board with this Matt House guy.
So let me just ask this question. So, yeah. And I'm not trying to hate on this guy because I don't know much about him. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know much about him. So coaching Aaron Donald was such a great job that it got him defensive coordinator at Kentucky.
In the SEC, correct.
Defensive coordinator, not at Alabama.
Nope.
Not at, you know, Auburn. Mm-hmm. Not at LSU. Mm-hmm. It got him at the 11th best program in the SEC.
Yeah, and Kentucky was pretty good this year. Kentucky was all right this year. They went to a basketball school, and they had a good, really good football year this year, right?
Yeah, no, they were good.
Okay, so and there were teams coming after him for potential head coaching jobs.
I could be wrong. I don't know much about guys. I just find it hard to get really excited about their position coaches and whoever it is.
Because it's not a sexy topic to talk about.
Because I'm not going to lie to you. I guess previous before they hired this Mike Smith guy, I don't know who their linebacker coach was. No clue who their linebacker
was. It was Gary Gibbs.
Nope. So Gary Gibbs was doing okay, and then
all I'm saying is this, and this is how he defended Bob Sutton. And I'm not saying that he should have stayed. That's not what I'm saying. But Sean Barber and Joe Mays sat here, and they told us that position coaches teach technique. They teach fundamentals. It ain't the defensive coordinator. So I think, based on some of the technique and some of the things I saw from this Chiefs defense, I'll take a guy like Matt House.
Did he coach up any great defensive linemen like he's going to be doing now?
I don't know. I got to look that up.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
I got those two dudes.
I just didn't know.
Aaron Donald's pretty good.
No, he's a great D-tackle. I didn't know if he coached any great DNs or
I don't know, man.
Anybody like that. I just didn't know.
I just need to get him going, man.
I'm just not a position coach guy. You know what I mean?
Maybe, I understand.
Maybe that's wrong, you know?
I think the position coaches should take heat, too.
Like, I don't know who the Royals' catching coach is. I'm sure they got a coach for the catcher coach.
They got a catching
coach.
Coordinator. I think it's Pedro Grifol.
I mean, that guy's doing it. I mean, I don't know why that guy's not managing the Yankees. I mean, he coached Salvador Perez. He should be coaching the Yankees. Thank you so much for listening today. Check out the podcast page, 610sports.com. Also available on iTunes. Do us a favor. Download the radio.com app. Back again tomorrow. It is The Drive. Hey, go Wildcats.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.